Speaker of the House John Boehner this past Wednesday invited Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to speak before a joint session of Congress on February 11th on national security and Iranian nukes. That came a day after Obama said in his State of the Union address that he would veto any congressional action which he believes would get in the way of negotiating with Iran. Here to discuss the threats presented by Iran, how Israel is affected by the different paths Israel and America take in dealing with this and other terrorist actors, is the Executive Director of the Orthodox Union Advocacy Center, Nathan Diamond. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning.
And on the web, it's advocacy.ou.org. I used this in the previous segment. I found a word count of top keywords from the State of the Union address, and they're kind of telling because if you look at the top five in order from 5 to 1, child care got it mentioned 8 times, college 12, Congress 13, economy 18, jobs 19. You go down the list, Obama mentioned terrorist 7 times. He mentioned war 3 times, Afghanistan twice, ISIL twice. That doesn't sound like foreign affairs and policy. And then you add to the fact, too, that he used frequently the idea of turning the page on the war on terrorism and wars overseas. Some people say that doesn't sound like he's looking at the situation realistically when it comes to Iran and other actors of terror.
I think you can separate a couple of things you said there. First of all, State of the Union speeches generally are heavy on domestic and tend to be heavy on domestic and lighter on foreign policy, right? Because the State of the Union, the president, whoever the president is, wants to lay out his domestic program, even though he also has to deal with the foreign policy threat. But that being said, certainly from the perspective of the pro-Israel community in general, and also the Jewish community, which has seen an upsurge in anti-Semitic events in Europe in recent weeks, we are very focused on foreign policy and definitely have some disagreements with how the president and his administration are handling some aspects of foreign policy.
And one would also say certainly I would imagine problems with the way that he addresses, treats, and some say even shows a lack of respect to Israel.
It's been a difficult relationship.
Yes.
Between the head of the U.S. government, namely President Obama, and the head of the Israeli government, Prime Minister Netanyahu, over the past several years. Thankfully, the relationship between the two countries and the relationship between the peoples of the two countries is and remains exceptionally strong. So there's definitely some tension at the top, but we're also very grateful that there's a solid relationship between the two countries. There's ongoing military cooperation, intelligence cooperation, trade, and more.
When you look at how this administration wants to continue to negotiate, even though most people say negotiations have stagnated at best, failed in a growing number of people to the point where even Democratic Senator Robert Menendez says it sounds like the Obama administration gets their talking points on Iran from Tehran. When you see this continued desire to negotiate, isn't that just simply something Iran would like to do in order to run out the clock and advance whatever they're doing behind the scenes with nuclear capabilities as long as they possibly can?
Yeah, we are deeply concerned with, in fact, with the notion that Iran is just gaming the system and is playing for time. Senator Menendez has been a fantastic champion on this issue and is very clear-eyed and has been very determined in trying to push legislation successfully in the past and hopefully successfully in the coming weeks to put pressure on Iran and frankly, as we're coming to a head, to not have any more extensions of the negotiations. It's really crunch time as to whether these negotiations are going to result in something, which we would have to see whether or not it was acceptable, or whether it's just time to shut down the negotiations and realize that we're just not going to get that result.
So Nathan Diamond, who is the Executive Director of the Orthodox Union Advocacy Center, advocacy.ou.org on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. When you look at the new Congress and the greater Republican majority in the House as well as the Republican majority in the Senate, Can Israel and the Jewish people look to them as a stronger ally? I mean, we're seeing already the conflict with what Speaker Boehner wants to do as far as pushing sanctions in against Iran through Congress. Whether or not the president wants to veto it, that's, you know, to be seen. But it's the bean counters in Congress think they even have the votes to do an override of the veto.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to get in. You know, it's hard to say on you know, who is the stronger proponent, so to speak. But definitely on the Iran issue, while we appreciate that the president and his administration have implemented the sanctions and have tried to get a good result through the negotiations. Again, we remain concerned that Iran is just, frankly, pulling the wool over their eyes, and the Republicans in both the House and the Senate are ready to call the Iranians bluff, and the at least until literally the past day or two, the drive for new Iran sanctions legislation was very much bipartisan. Not only led by Senator Menendez, together with Senator Kirk, a Republican from Illinois, but there were many Democratic senators and members of the House who had expressed skepticism about the negotiations and were ready to move legislation. Steny Hoyer, who's the Democratic, the number two Democrat in the House of Representatives, has also been very, very tough and a real leader on the Iranian issue. The president's pressure on Democrats unfortunately seems to be peeling some of them off and making them want to delay. I just saw a statement in the last hour from Senator Gillibrand from New York, who's saying the president's asking for more time. We should give the president more time. But we're going to try to work actively with Senator Menendez and Senator Kirk and the others to get good legislation that keeps the Iranians' feet to the fire through. And look, if the Iranians want to make a deal, they can make a deal. None of this legislation that's being proposed is going to get in the way of them making a deal if, in fact, they want to make a deal. All the legislative proposals will say, here are the increased sanctions that are going to happen in, you know, May or June or July if there's not a deal that's acceptable reached. So the argument that passing legislation now, which says what will happen several months down the road if there is no deal, saying that kind of legislation is going to blow up the negotiations is something that many of us just don't understand the logic of that argument.
Unless, of course, the one side of that deal-making feels they have something stronger in their back pocket, and as you alluded to before, playing out time to just put more in the back pocket and accomplish what they want to behind the scenes, to be determined. And obviously, when we talk the Middle East, it's usually a complicated situation, which is why whenever you see a book on the history of the Middle East, it's never a pamphlet. It's always one of those larger books in the bookstore.
That's true.
And that's usually just a summary, never mind the details of the history. But nevertheless, to get a better idea of the belief and the direction that the Orthodox Union Advocacy Center works for, strives for, and the education they provide, visit their website, advocacy.ou.org. We've been joined by their executive director, Nathan Diamond. Nathan, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.